Welcome to the Garmia Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at garmiabaptist.org.au.
Just a short reading this morning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Lives changed by Jesus. We talk about it a lot, but what do we mean? What does a life changed by Jesus truly look like? How does the decision to follow Jesus and place one's faith in him impact our lives? In this series, we will explore the ways we experience the ongoing conversion of following Jesus, reflecting on the biblical evidence of a life being changed by Jesus. Well, good morning, church. Lovely to see you this morning. A huge big g'day to you from me. My name, as Mark said before, is Roxanne. I'm associate pastor here at Garmia Baps. A huge big hi and welcome, particularly if you're new or visiting for the first time. Really glad to see you. Really glad that you've chosen to spend your Sunday morning with us, whether you're here in person or joining us online. As that little bumper video said, we are in a series. This is a nine-week series. Week two we're at. It's called Lives Changed by Jesus. And it is not just about, as the video said, that moment of conversion, but the ongoing transformation of our lives, the sanctification of our lives, how we are made holy and changed by God. And last week, Mark kicked that off for us with a look at purpose and how a commitment to purpose is one of the indicators or signs that our lives are being changed by him, that we are saved, that we have, as Ephesians says, every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I noticed in Sonia's prayer, she picked up some of that great Ephesians chapter 1 language. So well done, Sonia, wherever you are, for getting that one in. But that is the spiritual blessing we've been blessed with, and Mark's shared that with us and then talked about how those spiritual blessings are for us, but they're not just for us to stay. They're for God's purposes in the world, the renewing and restoration of all things, and God has transformed and changed us and given us everything and for us and for his work in renewing and restoration in the world. So we looked at that, and he landed last week by saying not only has God given us every spiritual blessing in Christ and given us a purpose, which is to partner with him in the renewing and restoration of all things, holy are men, but also he has then placed us in a family, in a people, in the people of God. And that's where I'm picking up the ball and we're running with it. So are you ready, church, today? Yes, fantastic. Now, I recognize in talking about the family of God, the people of God, that we're actually talking about a couple of thousand years. So you'll be happy to know that I've just got really 3 points, okay? 3 points this morning. There's a lot more that we could talk about. We're cutting it down. So we're only going to be talking about three major points today. So we're going to have a look at the increasing love for the family of God, the church, just the people of God. The scripture talks about the people of God being the family, or the bride of Christ is a term that we hear a lot about. We also talk about the building that God is building, that we are his temple, God is building his church. There's lots of metaphors. We are the body and he is the head. So that's kind of where we're heading this morning. Firstly, before we kind of get into the 3 points, I want to just get you to have a little sit and consider just two big things with me as we enter this. The first one is just to consider the company we keep here in the church, either in person or online. The company we keep. The person sitting in your row is incredible. The person sitting behind you is blessed.
The person sitting in front of you, apart from Mark, who's sitting in the front row, is absolutely called by God. Those every spiritual blessings in Christ that we heard about last week, they apply to the people that are around you. I want you to know that when you go and get a coffee from someone, the person who hands you your coffee, they've been chosen by God since before the world began. That person that greeted you at the door, God has called them. The person that smiled at you, God knows their names. The person that you're going to bump into and do that awkward dance when you're going to the toilet and they're coming out of the toilet at the end of service, you know what? God knows the number of hairs on their heads. Amazing. This is the company we keep. These are the people that God has made, called, loved, redeemed, restored, brought into his kingdom, brought into his family, died for, walks alongside. The company we keep, my friends, is incredible. God loves those who are around you. God loves them. It's mind-blowing how much he loves them, and he has given them the seal of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing their inheritance. And as you think about how incredible the people that are in the church that surround you are from what God has done, the second thing I want you to keep in mind is the sense of how incredibly diverse this group is. How the church, even just this room, even just those online, anyone who gathers today, is the most diverse group of people on planet Earth. You might belong to a soccer club, maybe you're the under sevens, you take your kids along to the under sevens soccer club, and you know that the thing that unites those kids is they're all under seven, and they all like soccer, and they got no choice because mum and dad are bringing them there on a Saturday morning. And that's the thing that unites them. Maybe you're in a singing group and you go along to the singing group because you all like to sing and you're all a particular age, you're all retirees and you're all women and you like to sing. There's many groups that we're a part of, maybe even at work, the group that you're a part of. You work in a corporate environment and you hang out with chartered accountants because you're a chartered accountant and spreadsheets rule. And that's the thing that we love about the group. The church is quite different to that. The church of God, the family of God, the people of God is quite different to that. In this group, we have people from 0 to over 100. The age is incredible. We have people with like men and women, boys and girls, different socioeconomic groups. People come to this church and to any church with nothing, to people who live in the most incredible homes ever. Every socioeconomic group is represented in the church. Every education level is represented in the church. Every vocation or retirement. People with family backgrounds that have been healthy and beautiful and strong and lovely, to people whose families have been dysfunctional and disruptive and have almost derailed their lives. People who have different life experiences. Not only that, but people who have different theological understandings, who read the Bible, interpret it in a different way. They're in the church too. Not just like-minded people. The church is the gathering of the most diverse group of people here on earth. And the thing that binds us, the thing that unites us, the thing that we're here for, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of the church. And so, church, as we're looking at being part of the family of God, my 3 points this morning, I want you to keep that in mind, that those around you have been called by God, they're blessed by God, they're special and unique because God loves them and God made them, and he's put them alongside you. And they're different and so unique and from all sorts. And as we look at the scripture and as we look at what God says about his family, I want you to remember that the local church, what God does here, what God does in his family is the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world because we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that unites us and brings us together, the one that loves us. And I want you to remember that the Heavenly Father loves his family. He loves his family. And as Jesus changes our lives, as we see lives changed by Jesus, part of that change is us learning to love the family of God in the same way that we love the Father, to love the people of God in the same way that we love God himself. And that is what I want to learn and grow and dig into today. So let's go. Are you guys excited? Did you know you were sitting next to a saint? Like, amazing. Who knew that, huh? Well, let's go. So first point, we are part of the family. In order to love the family of God, we need to be part of the family of God. And I've called this, we need to be loved in order to love. The scripture that was read for us says this in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. When we want to love the people of God, the family of God, it starts not with us, but it starts with God. We need to be aware and to know and to experience and to be grounded and surrounded in the love of God and know it for sure, for certain, in order to love his people. Later on in 1 John chapter 4, 19, this beautiful little verse, it says, we love because he first loved us. Friends, a love for the church, a love for God, for God's people can't be self-generated. It can't come from us. We have to love out of the overflow of what we receive from God. We need to have our own relationship with God strong and active and alive and connected like the vine and the branches in order that we love others well and appropriately. I don't know about you, but I can't love you out of just me. I have to love you and one another out of what God gives me. It's from the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. It's from the overflow of what God gives me that I love you. And the reason I can't do this is because the call to love each other, the one another's in the scripture, is a really high call. There's a beautiful little slide there, it's just a cute little image, which has some of the one another's in it, the way that we love one another. The scripture has 59 in the New Testament, 59 one another's that we're called to do, to love one another, to serve one another, to bless one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to teach one another, to forgive one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at that and I say, I can't. I can't do that. And I'm right. But you know who can? Is God, who can do that through me. God helps me to love in that way. And relying on the Holy Spirit, I can rely on what God is doing through me to do that and to love in that way. So friends, if we want to love the church, first thing is we have to be connected to Jesus ourselves. It makes it so much easier to extend forgiveness to someone when I'm really, really aware that I have been forgiven that very day. Makes it so much easier if I can extend mercy to someone or grace to someone, if I'm the recipient of that mercy and grace. I can't do it by myself. I have to receive it and give. It makes it so much easier to teach if I've been taught by God, if I'm grounded in Jesus and he is the rock. It makes it so much easier to love his people and to love his church. Amazing. People are hard. People are hard work, and we need Jesus to help us love him. There's a great image that I kind of use in my mind. It might be helpful for you. I'm going to share it with you. I think about a pond, which is just sitting there, and a pond gets filled with rain, and there's no place for it to go, and eventually it just kind of evaporates. But when it's filled, it's stagnant, and reeds grow, and it gets kind of green and swampy, and it just then evaporates and goes into nothing. If I am not receiving love from God, if I'm not connected to the vine, if I am not reading the Bible, if I'm not praying, if I'm not orientating my life to Jesus and staying connected to him, I'm a bit like that pond. I just receive and it just evaporates and it gets a bit stagnant. But if I'm connected to Jesus, if I'm in his word, if I'm praying, if I have an active spiritual life, it's more like a spring. And a spring has an inlet and it has an outlet. I'm receiving and it's continually being replenished and refreshed and springing up, but there's also an outlet. It's going out. I don't keep it. It goes out and it shares what the water with those downstream. So, church, I want to suggest for us, if we want to love the family of God, if we want to see our lives changed by Jesus and have that demonstrated, let's be not like a pond where it's all about us until it's not. Let's not be satisfied with yesterday's time with the Lord. Let's have our daily prayer. Let's be in the Word. Let's be in the prayer. Let's be connected to God so that streams of living water, as Jesus said, will flow from us and go to others, and that will help us to love His family and His church. Doesn't that sound amazing? And you know what the other thing I want to say to you is, if you are part of this church and you've been kicking around for a while and you have never said to Jesus, Jesus, I want that. If you've never been connected to Jesus, but you've come along because, you know, someone's brought you along and you've liked the coffee and the people, then you've heard about Jesus, but you've never, ever said to Jesus, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I can't do this on my own. Let today be the day where you connect with Jesus, where you say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. I don't have that love. I'm not getting that love. I'm not receiving that love. I don't know what that love is, but I really want to know Jesus. Let today be the day where you connect in with Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe again, in order that He might give you His love so that it will flow through you to others, because that's what God wants for you. Second point, family resemblance. We need to love like Jesus loves. This time of year is great. Like, I don't know about your Facebook feed. Mine's amazing. Everybody's sending their kids off to school for the first time, or you're seeing, you know, like photos of the kids in their uniform heading off. And I'm at an age now where people that I knew as kids are having kids. And so the delight for me is to see how much they resemble their parents. So, you know, you see someone's kid off to kindergarten and you remember them when they were a real little tiny person, you're like, they are the spitting image of their dad. Amazing. Or you get to know someone's kids and they have a mannerism that's just like their mum. And I love seeing the family resemblance. Well, friends, I want to say to you that for us, we in the church need to have a family resemblance to God. We need to have mannerisms and a similarity to God. The scripture that we read before in John 3:16 goes on to say this. It says that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus laid down His life for us. And then it says we then ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so when we have a family resemblance, when we mirror God, when we image God, a way that we resemble God is to love like He does, to love in the same way He does. In John's Gospel, before Jesus goes to the cross, there's this beautiful moment when Jesus and His disciples sit down and Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's a very famous Bible story. He takes a cloth, puts it on, sits down and washes the disciples' feet and then says, as I've done this to you, you're going to do this to others. Washing the disciples' feet was the lowest of the low jobs you could get. Basically, feet were like dust and dung back in the days. There was no shoes. There was just sandals. It was disgusting. It was the lowest task. And Jesus, the King of all, laid down His glory and put a serving towel and washed their feet to serve them. And then He goes on later to say this. He says to them, I'm going to give you a new commandment. A new command, He says. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. To love one another in the same way, in the same manner. Your love should resemble the love that I have for you. It should be that kind of love. And so when we're called to love the family of God, we're called to love in that manner, which is not just loving you as I love myself. It's a step up from that. It's not just treating you as I'd like to be treated. It's a step up from that. It's sacrificial love. It's love like Jesus. It's putting ourselves here and putting other people up here. It's an incredible sacrificial love that is utterly, utterly impossible without the Holy Spirit enabling us to do that. That's the kind of love that Jesus wants to see in his family, because it's the love that he has for the church. And for some of us, that sacrificial love might be about time. It might be the way we love the church. We sacrifice time and we serve on a team. It might be about our finances, that we sacrifice financially to give to the work of the church. It might be a sacrifice in just our comfort level, that we're really uncomfortable saying hi, but we're going to sacrifice and love the church by saying hi to somebody. There's lots of different ways that we can show that sacrificial love to the body of Christ. But there's some people in our church community that will have a higher call to sacrifice. And I'm speaking here about those who've been hurt by the church. There's no hurt like church hurt. The family of God, at times throughout 2,000 years of history, has hurt people. It can be in various ways and various levels of hurt. It could be denominationally, it could be pastorally, it could be personally, it could be relationally, it could just be a little conflict with someone in the team. It could be about the way they make coffee. There's a variety of ways that we hurt in the church. Some of it is minor and it can be worked through, and some of it is actually quite traumatic and horrible and difficult and awful. Loving like Jesus loves, for some of us, may be a sacrifice where we have to deal with that hurt in order to love the family of God. For some of us, those church hurts, we tend to keep them in and we protect them, we protect our hurt. We keep it inside and we nurture it. And we put layers and coating on it and pretend it doesn't exist, but it's precious to us. Because we know that if God asks us to hand that hurt over, it's going to hurt a bit all over again. That handing our hurt and our wound over to Jesus to heal is going to be a hard thing. But for some of us, that sacrificial love means that we have to hand that over to Jesus. We have to acknowledge Jesus and say, Jesus, I have been hurt by the church. Your body has hurt me, your people have hurt me, your family have hurt me, but Jesus, you haven't. And I'm going to retrust you again. I'm going to give this over for healing again. Some of us may need to do that. And some of us, it'll be simple in a prayer, and some of us may even need professional help to do that and to bring about healing in that way. But we are all called to forgiveness. And in some cases, we're called to reconciliation. There's a great story that Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says to his disciples, if you're coming to the altar with a gift, with a sacrifice, you come to the altar and you bring your sacrifice and you remember that your brother has got a problem with you. You've had a breakdown of relationship. Your brother has something against you. Jesus says you'd stop. To leave your gift and to go and be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer that gift. It's important to Jesus. This relationship in the church is important to Jesus. Hurt people, Jesus wants to heal you. For some cases, it'll be handing the hurt over to Jesus, as I said. For some people, it'll actually be about fixing up a problem, if it's a light problem of reconciliation. For some people, it might be offering forgiveness, because forgiveness is about what we hold, not what they've done. It'll be offering forgiveness to some people. And for others, you will actually need professional help. So there's a big spectrum of that. But for some of us, that is the call of God in our lives, to give our hurts over to Jesus and to enable us to trust again. And yes, it's hard, and yes, it's difficult, but we don't do that alone, and we don't do that in isolation. So, sacrificial love. We're to show the sort of love that Jesus shows. Another thing that we're meant to do, as we learn to love the family of God, is my third point, is family matters. Because love actually displays Jesus. 1 John 3:18 says this. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." It's not just meant to be a talking thing that we do. It's actually meant to have legs on it, to be tangible, to be visible. That's the sort of love that we're meant to have. The end of Jesus' commandment, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another in the way I have loved you," is, it says this. It says, "By this, all people will know that you're my disciples." By this very thing, this is the indicator, this is the sign, this is the signal that people will see this love and know that you're my disciples. Friends, the way we treat each other matters. Our attitudes and our care for one another matters, not only because we're God's children and He's our Father, and we know as parents when our kids get along how great it is and how enjoyable it is, but because it's a witness to the wider world. The love of God in the community says to the world that Jesus is real and Jesus matters, and people are drawn to Jesus when our community is sweet. The supernatural of love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit displayed in the family of God, and it's always been this way. People aren't attracted to the church because we run great programs, although that's important. People aren't attracted to the church because we argue online, although that's not important. People aren't attracted to the church because of anything else we do apart from the love of God that they can see displayed in one another. The early church did that. In the beginning of Acts, there's a handful of disciples and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes and the numbers go to thousands. And then all through that, as the early church love the family of God and care for the family of God and forgive one another and pray for one another and bless one another and work out the hard stuff of life together, the church grows. And from the year zero, with a handful of disciples, till the year 350 AD, where Christians made up over 50% of the Roman Empire. It's astronomical growth. Tertullian said this. He says in the second century, and he said, this is how unbelievers talk about the family of God. It says, they would say, "See how they love one another." In a world in the Roman Empire of stratification and division and slaves and masters over here and men and women over there and we look down on the sick and we look down on the poor, the Christian church loving one another sacrificially and beautifully was mind-blowing. It was the thing that drew people in. And they saw them loving not just with words but with actions and in truth to care for the poor, to care for one another, to pray for one another. And it was remarkable, and it was remarked on, and sharing that and being the church quite literally changed the world. But it's hard for us to love somebody we don't know. It's hard for us to love the family of God, even here, when we don't know one another. It's one of the reasons we've persisted with name tags, even though I know they're a bit of a pain, but it's helpful because then we can know one another, because then we can love one another better. And it's hard to love somebody when you don't see them very often. Maybe you can strike up a smile or a mini conversation, but unless you're here investing week by week, it's hard to really get to know the family of God and the people of God. Loving the church isn't just nice and good and everything wonderful. It's important. It matters because it's the thing that will share Jesus. So friends, I want to say to you this morning, the church of God is beautiful. The church of God is beautiful. You've been called into it. You've been saved into it. You've been placed into it. You are the people that God loves. Let's love them too. Let's not just love the bridegroom, let's love the bride. Let's not just love the head, let's love the body of Christ. Let's not just love the builder, let's love the building the builder is building. Let's not just love the father, let's love the family. I'm going to show you a really short video. It's under 2 minutes, of a guy called Stephen Foster, who is a pastor in Oxford University. like that town where the university is. And here's a pastor there, and he's sharing a bit of a story about how he first came to faith and how he started serving in the family of God, and how serving in the family of God was the thing that actually enabled him to love the family of God and the transformation and the change that Jesus wrought in his life. He says it in a beautiful, articulate way, so we'll watch that. And then I'll come back.
If I'm honest, I never really liked the church. I didn't even really like Christians that much. I used to think of it like a package deal. Like, you get Jesus, and so you get the church and Christians thrown. It's just part of the package. And there are some bits you like Jesus, some bits you don't like so much, which is like the church and Christians. Used to find that a bit annoying. But I'd turn up the church and go through it, but I didn't really enjoy going to church. And then one day, I was at the back of our church in East London, and someone said to me, "Oh, we need help to run the coffee team." And I was like working like 70, 80 hour week. I'm like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, Steve, we really need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday." And I was thinking, I'm a barrister, I'm not a barista. Like, I've got a job, I don't need another job to run the coffee team. But I just, you know, sometimes you just can't even think of what to say. So I was like, "Okay, I'll do it, okay." And instead, I was like, why did I do that? So I turn up next week, like, you know, trying to get the cups and everything, get the coffee right. As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I was like, these people are amazing. Like, this is this extraordinarily diverse community. It's been gathered from across the area. Probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle. And then even people I found a little bit more frustrating and complicated, as I handed them their coffee, I kind of grew in love for them. And I kind of basically fell in love with the church. And then I kind of went back to the person who'd asked me to do it. I said, "We need a new coffee machine. We need better beans. We need better mugs. Like, come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they get. You know, they're coming to church on a Sunday morning." I got more and more passionate. I started to build a team to serve coffee on a Sunday morning. I sometimes say making coffee changed my life because I fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize why it was special. I didn't realize why it mattered. And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Jesus Christ. It's like the thing he gave himself for. Like, the church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B. And God is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, like, God is putting all his eggs in the church basket. And I realized over those few weeks, there's a beautiful thing here. Yes, it messes up. Yes, it makes mistakes. You'll never find a perfect church, but it's a beautiful thing. And I thought, that's what I want to spend my life building.
So who's going to join the coffee team, huh? What a great story. We're going to invite the worship team to come up, and so as we do that, I'm going to lead you in prayer. Friends, the church is beautiful and it's broken and it's hard to love sometimes, but it's what God asks us to do. It's what God commands us to do. And so I'm going to invite you in a moment to pray with me. But if you'd like some prayer for any reason today, there'll be members of our prayer team down the front here. If you are feeling hurt or broken or wounded, we'd love to pray with you. If you are one of those people who have never connected in with Jesus and you've come to the community and you've seen the community and you want to connect in with Jesus for the first time, we'd love to pray with you on that as well. Any other prayer needs, of course, come and get some prayer. But will you stand with me as we pray together? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your family. We thank you so much for the church, Lord God, that this group of people, so diverse, but all called to be following you, all called into family from all walks of life and all stages and all levels of understanding. Oh God, thank you that you're changing our lives. Jesus, you're changing us and you're making us love you more and love one another more. God, we want to say we can't do this without you. We can't do this in our own strength, in our own power. It's too hard. We don't have what it takes, but you do, Jesus. You have what it takes. So, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, and we want to see our lives changed by Jesus, we want to see our church changed by Jesus, will you give us all we need to love one another? Will you give us all we need to forgive one another? Will you give us all we need to let go of the things that we have held on to, knowing that we can trust in you, that you are good and you are merciful and you are kind? Oh God, we ask that your will would be done here in this church, that we might be the place that people look and they say, see how they love one another. And when they look at us and when they look at our community, they don't just see us, God, they see you, Jesus. They see you and they are drawn to you. Lord, that's what we want. We want your name lifted high. We want your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, in our church, here on earth, as it is in heaven. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.